W8 beauty. UFO, monitor. Hey, BOOE mobile. How are we doing today? Better, could be worse, sir. How about you? Doing okay. We are just coming home from our camping trip, running mobile. Had some electrical problems with the camper, but we are smooth sailing now.
Yeah, they've got a few different electrical systems in those campers. That's always a good time.
Yeah, we see trips. One of the breakers for the slide out, and we could not find where it was at, so we had to call a professional, and the thing was on the other side of the camper in a cupboard somewhere, so that was kind of crazy.
Oh, yeah, they probably next to a 110 converter, I would imagine. Glad it wasn't me. I would have had fun digging, I'm sure.
Well, it's a good life lesson. You know, it reminds me I just need to just get more educated with the electrical systems of the camper and possibly other things as well.
You're the first owner? Are you the first owner of the camper?
Yep, first owner of the camper, and it's only a year old. The guy who came out pretty much told us that the campgrounds have kind of a dirty circuitry, so a little spike here and there throws the whole system off.
Does the manual have schematics in it?
Yeah, you won't believe this, it doesn't come with schematics.
Wow, boy, I'd have been upset.
Yeah, it makes things challenging, there's no doubt about it when you can't find anything.
I think I'd be calling that company.
Well, they naturally do this on purpose. They can sell you different policies. They can do this so you have to call their company to repair. I mean, it's a cycle of money-making systems, for sure.
Yeah, they'd be selling me a policy, all right. It would come with the schematics for my camper, or otherwise I'd be buying from another company.
You know, absolutely, and it's just one of those things at the time you don't think about it, and then later on you're like, dang, I should have gotten the schematic.
My daughter is one of the persons at General RV that handles the state-level title work from the manufacturer to the state for the titles for those things. I'm not going to say which one she works at, but... I would be consulting her first, but that's the advantage I have, but I also wouldn't go in. I mean, they must make the assumption, like you said, that everybody's idiots, and they can just sell you some kind of warranty work or something. I don't know, that would upset me beyond words, I think.
Well, I was talking to my wife. Like I said, we got to get more educated on electrical systems. Unfortunately, my generation, being millennials, we are not well educated. on how electrical systems work, but my father is very educated on the subject, so I get to at least learn a little bit from that.
I beat up millennials a lot, but I'll tell you, what had happened is the public school system and I almost hate to point out political stuff, but anyways, what they did is they dumbed everything up, they put it in to vocational schools, took it right out of the high schools that were where they had those extra programs. And as soon as my class went through Davison, they auctioned off the whole machine shop where we used to do metal castings and machine parts and the machines even we machined that we made. And then all the electronics programs, all of that stuff. And they turned the whole annex building in Davison over to an adult ed. You know, they figured they had enough flunkies. They didn't need to educate anybody anymore.
Yeah, I couldn't agree. You know, I'm from Midland, and we are still talking about creating a vocational school because, yeah, all the machinery, welding, I mean, I took car care in high school. I think that's gone as well. So, you know, naturally there's more of a demand for these things coming back. So I'm interested in the future to see what school will look like as the economy and job demand changes.
I went to through all the industrialized programs. They had an automotive 1 and 2 where we worked on all the electronics and ODD stuff. And I've done automotive, and I've done automotive machining, where, you know, we were tearing heads off and stuff, and grinding valves and milling and all those different things. And I took the auto body, too. I'd done the auto body, and I took everything they offered because I knew that, you know, anything else, I knew I wasn't going to be probably completing a college degree. So I'd done everything they offered, and then I even had to take a couple of night classes to get required classes done.
Yeah, no, I only was offered car care when I was in high school. I took that 1 and 2, but that was pretty much it. So, you know, very much learning as we go over here.
That was done. I don't know how much they got to even vote on it, but that was kind of a boomer thing. Because we certainly weren't voting that way because we wanted all that we could get. But, you know, Mike Rowe is pointing it out, dirty jobs, you know. It is what it is. And now those positions aren't being filled. So, you know, who knows? I don't know. Can't blame it entirely on the boomers, though, because it was the ones before them also.
KFACFO. Yeah, no, I would agree. You know, the boomers' policies did impact a lot. Yeah, I mean, I encourage, my sons are very young. They are 5 and 6. But, you know, man, if they want to do trades, that'd be great. Because, you know, it's a pretty good transition into adulthood. But, yeah, we'll see, you know. I mean, at least in my part of the state, in the Tri-Cities, there's not a lot of industry and not a lot of economic growth. So, you know, the trades might be a good option.
Like I said, it wasn't all the boomers, that's for sure. A lot of those are returning Vietnam vets and younger. they had some horrible politics. They were getting dealt some one blow after another, and the TV programmed an awful lot of them. And you know, there's some relatively conservative boomers out there that you know, they well, I hate to blame it on one or the other party, but the foresight, I think, but the television was programming everybody into a service economy, more like haircuts and, you know, the industrial trades are gone. The foundries, they run those out. That was an EPA deal. And there was no, you know, there was nothing there to clean up the stacks. And by the time there was, it was too late. And nobody's going to do nothing. So they weren't gonna clean up the flue gases on the stacks on the foundry. So they went to Canada, and then they went to Russia and China. The last batch of snow I bought was horrible.
Yeah, absolutely. I work with some Vietnam vets, and man, did they ever get a bad deal. There is no doubt about it. Bad deal indeed. It's going to be interesting to see how Michigan economy changes and shifts over the years.
Where you can squarely blame it on is whoever's controlling the media for the most part, because that's who programmed. I mean, you know, I got a cousin down in Atlanta and said, "Oh, it's so nice down here," and it's about how he talks too. They removed that icky foundry and got a nice mall in there, and you know, a lot of cast iron come out of Atlanta, Georgia. Got rid of that icky foundry and got a bunch of mall jobs and cleaned it up and made it look beautiful. And I'm thinking, oh my God, how easily someone's deceptive, because those were high-paying skilled trades jobs. They made great iron in the foundries down there in Atlanta, and they run one up in Pigeon, I think, here in Michigan still. And then they've got one by where I used to fish for salmon up in East Jordan that still runs pretty strong.
I mean, that's one reason to stay in the state. It's the natural resources and beauty is unparalleled. I know in the Flint area we've lost a couple of companies coming in, and even in Saginaw we've lost a couple of companies coming in. So hopefully we can get Michigan moving back on the right path, because a lot of people are moving out and headed down south, you know.
Well, look, when I was working skilled trades, I run heavy stamping. Well, I've done a lot of different skilled trades, welding, heavy stamping, maintenance. Like industrial maintenance, three-phase, electrical stuff, robotics. There were groups of Chinese they brought in to buy our old presses. So those presses, a lot of those stamping presses and stuff are gone from the jobber shops. They just laid them out in chunks and hauled them away in on semis and put them on boats and took them to China. So they're doing it all over there. But we ran those presses. We ran the guts out of them. And it was rough on the neighbors of that shop, that's for sure, because the one I ran would bounce one of my radio buddies, and he's a boomer. I think he worked for the railroad, but it would bounce his dishes right out of his cupboard.
Wow, yeah, I mean, that's just crazy that they're packed up and shipped overseas. My family's from Pennsylvania, the Pittsburgh, Erie area, and they talk about the glory days of the 70s when manufacturing was at its peak, and, you know, just from high school, you just walk into a really good job and whatnot. It just sounds crazy now in this day of age.
The mills, yep, they would go beyond iron there. Matter of fact, the coil stock, some of our older coil stock was remnants from that day and age, and then we would decoil it and stamp it into parts, but they had roll mills down there. That place, everybody talks about how polluted it was, but, you know, some of the older stuff, older equipment, they didn't like I said, they didn't, our country never invested in the stack scrubbers and things like that to clean up emissions. They just quit. They quit. They damped them down, the government closed them down, and, you know, they put it on, you know, it's pollution. Well, you're going to send all this money to these other countries. Why not invest here to clean up the stack, the flue gases, you know?
Yeah, I always joke with my cousins that if they ever make fun of Michigan, I always say, well, at least the rivers don't catch fire like the Ohio River did. My family told me that Lake Erie used to be red in the 60s, and I'm like, well, lakes aren't supposed to be red either, so I can poke a little fun at them for environmental things like that.
Zug Island. they had a huge gray iron plant down there. They made petroleum coke out of the coal. And that Zug Island, matter of fact, there's a band called that. My buddy started, he's the producer for ICB. And he started a band called Zug Island, which is a sister band to the Clown Posse. Anyways, oh man. They used to have a camp, or not a campground, like a park thing you could go to down there called Pablo. We'd catch them boats, but I think they had two shuttle boats. Both of them are gone. I think one of them might have burned up even, but they were big boats, and they would go out there. You know, it used to be pretty cool to go down there. Ward, speaking of, sits on the Lapeer Group, a friend of mine, and he's a photographer, and that guy does some great photography of that area down there. And he grew up in that era, so he knows what went on. So he knows where to go to catch some of those images, and it's incredible what that guy does.
Oh, that's really cool. That's really cool, yeah. I mean, I eventually want to make it to Puddin Bay. I've never been there, but they said it's cleaned up and it looks a lot better, and the images look really cool. I've never been.
I'll eat fish out of that whole area over there. I fish for walleye, but it's been a long time since I've done it. But yeah, the river itself took a beating. Algae blooms and all that crap, and God only knows what metals lay in the bottom of there from the foundry stuff. And, you know, the government didn't back up anything. They just dismantled it. And like I said, a lot of the foundries went to Canada. And you could still get decent steel for a while there, and then some of that Russian stuff. And I'll tell you what, you get a load of rebar from China, you can just drop that rebar. You can't even bend it. Just drop it and it shatters at some of it.
Yeah, no, I mean, China's not known for their quality. I think they definitely enjoy selling us cheap goods. Hopefully we'll get some more manufacturing back into our country soon with the tariffs idea. I mean, I'm not an economist, so I don't know if that's going to work, but it'd be nice to see a lot of that stuff come back.
Well, it depends on if they let the EPA just shut things down as opposed to some studies and maybe even grants for some of that to do those things differently. I don't know. The solar and the wind stuff is a joke, though. They're not doing any favors there on hardly anything. We'll see on that, too, you know. Like I said, it's not all the boomers' faults, just like it's not all the millennials' faults. I mean, there's books still out there, thank God. When they start burning books, we're in trouble. KB8OOE.
KSA, DFO. Yeah, no, we're all in this together, despite generations. So we'll figure this out. We always do.
It's the bottom line right there. So, you know, we got my generation X and the the boomers, you're kind of poking fun an awful lot at millennials and the in-betweeners there, but the bottom line is we're stuck here. There's nowhere else to go.
Yeah, I think there's a lot more positive things going on than we give credit for, you know, so it's just something to focus on, and, you know, it'll be cool to see how this country moves in the next, you know, 10 to 15 years.
I'll tell you something else, that these boomers have a lot to offer, and, you know, they get beat up a lot, but these old guys that do the high-powered tube stuff and manual machining and all these different things they do, these are lost arts. And if you don't hit them up, if Boomer dies, it's like a library burning down. So if they don't come back, it's over at that point. That memory bank is erased.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we have to cherish the knowledge from the past, and we have a lot to learn, and we don't want to lose that information because, like you said, once it's gone, it's gone. History tells us how to look forward, right?
Yeah, but, you know, a lot of history gets erased. The ones in charge and the media moguls kind of control it. It is what it is. Whoever wins gets to write the history. So they're not writing the history true and right, but they're definitely scribbling down what they wanted to say. Oh, listen, enough gloom and doom, and I would be trying to get a schematic for that thing. You got a ham radio license, so you know how to track down circuits. You need a test light for 12 volts, and you need a digital and analog multimeter, and that'll service anything you got to service in that thing. Outside of that three-way ammonia absorption refrigeration system, you can pretty much handle everything else.
Yes, that sounds good. I appreciate the chat. You're coming in loud and clear on mobile. Hope you have a good drive, and I'll catch you on the air later. This is KFA's CFO.
Right on 7-3. Would you say your suffix was VFO, like variable frequency oscillator?
KF8 VFO. Yeah, I'm running mobile with my Yaesu run, and so you're coming in clear as well.
VFO is in Victor Foxtrot Oscar, or BFO is in Bravo Foxtrot Oscar?
Bravo Foxtrot Oscar.
Heat frequency oscillator, okay. Yeah, cool call. There's a guy on here, and this, matter of fact, he kind of runs the thing. I don't know if he kind of runs it. I think he does run it. Him and a couple other guys. His suffix is standing wave ratio. And I've always been so jealous over that call because I was going to look for it as a vanity, but I didn't never find it, so I kept my original novice call. So, all right, 7-3, safe travels. This is KBAOOE.
73 as well. You have a safe trip. This is KF8 BFO. I will be just monitoring the channel here and there.
Give me the severe.
QBSWR
from State Mountain.
QBSWR, have you checked in? It's KKBD, net control for the Michigan ARPSC net. This is KJBB, net control for the Michigan ARPSC net. Anybody wishing to check in to the pre-net for this Michigan ARPSC section level net, please call now.
Nothing wrong with the repeaters. They're running an HF net weekly, Sunday night. There's the repeater don't drop because there's no squelch on HF, so you just have to bear with it. He's taking some check-ins. If you can hear the net, feel free to check in. KBSWR.
KBSWR, KJBD, go ahead.
No, just throw my call out so people know on AHF and UHF because the repeaters don't drop. So some people think there's an issue and just keeping it active. KBSWR.
Copy that. This is KJBD, net control for the Michigan ARPSC section net. Anyone wishing to check into the free net, please call now.
ABACGW.
Okay, I have a Kilo Bravo 8 PQW, is that correct?
Yes, sir. That's correct. Papa Golf Whiskey, KBA TGW, standing by.
Okay, again, KB or KA, Delta or Bravo?
Kilo Bravo 8, Papa Golf Whiskey.
TGW, you got you. Sorry about that. Old ears. Next station, please.
Net Control, this is November 8, Whiskey Romeo Oscar, NAWRO, Tim, Tango India Mike, in Richmond, no traffic.
NAWRO, I have you checked in, Tim. This is, once again, the pre-net. Anybody want to check in the pre-net? Would you call now? We're going to start the net shortly. Any relay? Last station, could you repeat your call sign, please? This is KJBD, Net Control Station for the Michigan Amateur Radio Public Service Corps Net. This net meets every Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on or near a frequency of 3932 kHz. That's bang on where we are right now. Our alternate frequencies are 5346.5 and 7232 kHz. These are the designated Michigan emergency frequencies. This net is also available via VHF and UHF link repeaters, courtesy of the Central Michigan Emergency Network. If you receive the net on VHF and UHF, you're invited to check in and participate. The net is also available on Echo Link, but will we receive only. The purpose of this net is to provide a weekly statewide exchange of information and ideas concerning OCCOM in Michigan. This includes Aries, NTS, and Skyward, all radio amateurs with a sincere interest in supporting public safety are invited and encouraged to take part in this net. This is an ARRL section level net. Regular participants include your section officials, NTS officials, assistants, and representatives from these groups. This is KHJBD. My name is Jim, and I hold the position of ECRO, Washtenaw County. From the pre-net group, I have the following stations listed. WBB, N8OBU, KB8SWR, KB8PGW, N8WRO. There was another station. I thought I heard a Kilo Foxtrot 8 Tango something, but I could not pick it up. From the pre-net group, I have the following stations listed. So, those stations need not check in again, but other stations for the net, please call them out. KJBD, Net Control. Foxtrot 8 Echo something something. You really broke it up. You're coming in through the repeaters. So try it again, please. Okay, is that a Kilo Foxtrot 8 Tango Bravo Victor? Is that correct? checking the monitoring. One was heavily banded, not working real well. One failed. Just fine. So we just keep chewing away at it. We're just almost done with the initial coverage of all of the sirens here. So we'll shut off fairly soon. So with B, I am net control, and I will move next to WB8TQZ.
Good afternoon, Jim. KJBB in the Michigan ARPSC. That's the WB8TQZ. Rock City, I used to be your officer, Max, MIT, and net manager. Well, yesterday we had one of our two annual public service events. We had coverage for a 6K run as part of the local summer festival. Could have maybe used a couple more people, but we had enough to do a proper job of it between us and the public safety people. They had pretty good control on the route, which is, I think, the best I've ever seen it, and good for them. Everybody had a pretty good time, went pretty well. Of course, we've done it a number of times, and we pretty well have the formula figured out by now. There's a lot to be said for record keeping and learning from your mistakes, and we have. The next one coming up, if we can get through together, will be the weekend after over in Boston for an event they have there. So it's not super big, not super involved, but it gets people out, and it's going to give us a little bit of experience, and it's going to make that any better than nothing. Next, we're looking at Max, we're still relying on 40 meters in the morning. Also, using 60 meters, usually channel 4, sometimes that's necessary. MITN is still getting by at 7 o'clock in the evening on 3953, but we also occasionally resort to 60 meters channel 4 for that, depending on conditions. So, for those that are interested in participating, just check the reflectors. Net control usually posts whatever is found to be necessary on a given day if it's not the, regular frequency. And, another good opportunity. And if you got some traffic you want to send, by all means, bring it along. We can use the business. Back to net, WBTQZ.
WBATQZ, I caught about the last three or four sentences of that. The bands are sort of up and down. But once again, thanks very much for your comments there. Hopefully some of the others a little closer picked them up. Like I said, only caught about the last two or three sentences. Anyway, once again, thanks for checking in with that. This is KJBD Net Control, and let's move next to N8OBU. Your comments, sir.
All right, fine job doing net control. I know it can be a little bit tough on your end. It's a little bit rough sometimes with, you know, trying to make people out on my end, but I appreciate your efforts. Yeah, I'm just sitting here. I'm getting ready to cook dinner, but I'll be monitoring if I'm needed. And thanks again for being net control. Take care. N8OBU.
Hi, N8OBU. Thanks for the kind words there. Yeah, HF can be a little rough a lot of the time. But once again, thanks for all the efforts you do to keep us up, linked up for this. Let's move next to KBA-SWR. Jeff, your comments, sir.
Good evening to you and everybody on the net. Spent yesterday up in Mackinac doing some site stuff and expanding the network a little bit more.
KBSWR Net Control. Yep, thanks for the extension. Every little bit helps. Every little bit helps. Well, let's move now to KB8PCW. Your comments, sir. KB8PGW. Your comments. KB8PGW. Go ahead, sir.
Good evening, everybody on the net. Well, it's almost evening.
Pretty busy weekend. This is a big tomato fossil problem. We'll have to weigh about another 12 gallons for the year. So I've got that going on, and got to play a little bit in the big CW contact. Made up about 110 contacts. So I'm not really super competitive because normally I have the other projects at this time of year. So it was nice just to go out and play a little bit leisurely several times. And that's all that I have going on. Not much else to report from Midland.
KBA PGW. KBA PGW, thanks for holding down Midland there. We appreciate your comments. Let's move next to N8WRO. N8WRO, your comments, sir.
Well, thank you, Net Control. I appreciate it. I'm in the Macomb County ARPSC. A level 2 just recently, and we're happy that our group is going to be able to assist Oakland County in the Woodward Dream Cruise. We've got about 5 members going over there to assist in that, and then we're just trying to post and get the word out about this net being, I guess you'd say, simulcasted on VHF and UHF to try to get some of our members to go ahead and check in as well. We appreciate all the help, especially with Jeff, KB8SWR, and I'm just going to send it over back to Net, N8WRO.
N8WRO, fella D2 County, glad to hear you on the net there, and I saw a beautiful Dodge Charger with a turbocharged engine today. Driving around with no hood, but boy, was that was a blast from the past. Anyway, thanks very much for your comments there, and wish you guys the best of luck with the Dream Cruise. Let's move next to Kilo Foxtrot 8, Echo Bravo Victor. Bravo, Victor. Thanks for checking in.
Mobile. Copy me. I'm.
Okay, can I get your call sign again and a little slower, please?
AB8OOE. Kilo Bravo 8 Oscar Echo. Name is Mike. Mike in the Kilo Echo. I'm between Otisville and Columbiaville right now by the high school.
Okay, I have a KB8, Oscar Echo. Any other stations we need to check in, please call now.
Net Control, this is Kilo Echo 4, Zulu, Yankee, Quebec. Kilo Echo 4, Zulu, Yankee, Quebec. Joe and Clinton Township, Michigan.
Okay, I copy a Kilo Echo 4, Zulu, Yankee, Quebec. Any other stations, please check in. Okay, way down in the weeds, I heard. Can you come with your call sign again, slowly, and I'll see if I can pick it out. Okay, Whiskey 8, Alpha Uniform X-ray, I have you checked in. Next station, please. Okay, nothing heard. Let's move next to KB9 IAR. Your comments, sir.
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen. Yeah, this is Don in Battle Creek. Not a lot going on here. We did our parts on the air. At Fort Custer again today. The weather was perfect for it. That's about all I have. Nice net control. KB9IAR.
Okay, KB.AR, thanks for checking in, Don. We appreciate that. Let's move next to 8AXB. Your comments, sir.
KHABD, here is WD8AXB. This is Charlie in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Kalamazoo County, little town of Vicksburg. Got to see Don, KB9IAR, who just checked in, got to see Don this past Monday night at a District 5 Emergency Coordinators meeting at a local restaurant with a nice meeting room. So got to see a lot of the District 5 leadership and part of the ham radio adventure for the folks on the Lake Michigan shore is that they had a nuclear power plant exercise. It's the Palisades nuclear power plant that's eventually coming back online. It was a mothballed nuclear plant, but they're bringing it back online after being closed all of about 2 years or so. So they're getting their emergency test out of the way to get them back activated. So some of the hams there in Darien and Allegan and Van Buren counties got to participate in that. So that's kind of the news and report from District 5. And glad that Don got out to do a little operating for Parks on the Air yesterday. That's pretty good there, Don. So back to Net Control, and I'm hearing Net Control quite well. Was totally unable to hear Mike up in Rogers City. There was just no propagation down this way. So KJBD, back to you, sir, WD8 Alpha X-Ray Bravo, over.
WD8XB is KJBD. Yeah, I also got you loud and clear. Everything's booming in. Good to see Palisades is coming back up. Any sort of green power is always appreciated. We go through a lot of the exercises over here in the eastern part of the state with the Fermi reactors down in Monroe. So they have Fermi drills, and we also did a big cobalt magnet exercise. So, they're taking this stuff very seriously, which is good. Anyway, thanks very much for comments, sir. Let's move now to Kilo Bravo 8, Oscar Echo. Your comments, sir.
I'm not full of comments tonight. I just logged in or checked in to check in and out. That was it. So I'll let Net Control run it, and you guys have a good evening. I'm just doing a lap around my old town here, and boy, they're working on a mansion here in town.
KB8OOE, you're coming in really good now. Sorry about the last time, but like I said, old ears and stuff happens. So anyway, thanks very much for your comments, sir. Certainly appreciate that. Check in anytime. Let's move next to Kilo Echo 4 in Zulu, Yankee, Quebec.
Yeah, Net Control. This is Kilo Echo 4, Zulu, Yankee, Quebec. Joe, Juliet Oscar Echo in Clinton Township, Michigan, in Macomb County, coming through on the Macomb County or Mount Clements repeater. Thanks to all do for the net and all involved in the net, and hope everyone has a good week to come because we've got sunny weather here, no rain or storms predicted, and hopefully the smoke from Canada's fires clears out of here for the next week or more. So back to net, and thanks again, KE4ZYQ.
K4ZYQ is KJBD. Thanks for your comments, sir. And yeah, I appreciate the weather. I grew up about 5, which is considerably Michigan weather, really and truly. Let's move next to Whiskey 8 Alpha Uniform X-Ray. Your comments, sir. Lake Uniform X-ray. Your comments, sir. KGBD Net Control, did I get his call sign correct? Did I get his call sign correct? Any relays? Okay, well, nothing heard. Let's go to any other stations that wish to check in to the Michigan ARPSC section net. Any stations wishing to check in, please call now. It's KGBD Net Control. Any relays? Okay, well, thanks to all that participated in this net. We certainly appreciate it. Couldn't happen without you. So this is KJBD Net Control. I'd like to thank the Central Michigan Emergency Network for their assistance in all of the VHF and UHF linkage here. We certainly do appreciate that. And with that, I'm going to call the net at 1722. This frequency is now returned to regular amateur use, 73 all, and enjoy the rest of the day. This is KJBD out.
Okay, thank you.
KB and SWR, dropping the VHF side.
UHF hub disconnected.
NHWCB, NHWCB, this is Katie Lane.
KYNU, good evening. This is NAWCB. Well, you've reached the finish line. Another long weekend in the books, at least at your work. You get a long weekend off next week, next weekend. But how did we do today?
Hey, I'm happy about that. It was good. It was good. I was on phones today. And it wasn't a bad day. It moved along pretty quick, and so I'm pretty happy about that. How was your day?
That's right. You worked phones today. Hopefully not a lot of phone traffic and generate a lot of calls there today, but happy for you in that way. We're doing pretty good. Watched church today. Lee wasn't at Reed City. They were. They took an extra day. They were at family camp at Northwest. So we watched Pastor Jesse there in Pennsylvania, and another service. Good services today. But other than that, it's been pretty low key around here.
And nothing wrong with low key. It's not bad. Taking an extra day, that's not bad at all. Sounds like a good day today.
Yes, indeed. I'm glad for low-key weekend around here. And like I say, I'm glad for Lee and Melissa that they were able to take that extra day from camp and. Did some counseling up there this week during their family camp, and like you said last week, they were probably going to take an extra day, and I'm glad they were able to do that. It gives them a little bit of a break from things, so all in all, pretty good.
Hey, good, sounds good. It was like I said, it was a good day today. I heard it was beautiful outside. I went outside and I think it's that perfect temperature, you know. It's not too hot, not too cold. It's just right. At least to me it is.
Yes, I agree. As long as the humidity is lower, that makes a huge difference. I know that, you know, some of the smoke from the wildfires has made the skies a little bit hazy there. I know it's more noticeable as you go up north, but as long as that humidity is down and the temperatures, it's just been great for, you know, during the daytime and just great sleeping weather at night too. You just can't beat it.
Yeah, for sure. We've had the windows open every night since it cooled off, and it's been nice. It's been good sleeping temperature, like you said. So I'm looking forward to sleeping tonight.
Yes, I bet you are there. You don't have to wake up with an alarm tomorrow. You get to enjoy the benefits, hopefully, but I know it's going to warm up a little bit here as the week goes on, but, you know, not terribly bad, but at least the temperature's comfortable for you guys, and like I say, to be able to sleep with the windows opened, and like I say, you don't have to have that alarm clock tomorrow. At least you get a break there tomorrow.
Yeah, for sure. For sure, that is a true statement there. Was working on the CAD today, the CAD that I've been putting together for ARPSC, and found out that it's got a pretty cool feature. So if you're in an EOC setting or like a dispatch setting or whatever, there's a option to where you can put that information up on a big screen, and it's live updates, and it's got the weather and time, but then it also, you know, with your calls and your units, it updates it right there, and you can see it on the big board.
Wow, that sounds pretty neat. Yeah, kind of messed. I think if that's the one, Res Grid, I think if that was the one, I kind of messed around with it a little bit. I didn't move anybody around or change any statuses or anything like that. Just kind of walking through it there, just kind of familiarizing myself a little bit with it. But yeah, that sounds like a pretty informative feature. So, you know, a little bit more flexibility to that system.
Oh yeah, for sure, it's pretty nice. And you can mess with it as much as you want, because it's live, but it's not live yet for anybody else outside of you, me, and Tim. The three of us are, you know, they're only ones that are on it at the moment. Wanted to try to get it down before rolling it out to everybody else.
Oh, okay, sure. I didn't want to mess anything up, but yeah, I might kind of toy around with it a little bit, or just kind of dig into it a little bit more and get a little bit more familiarized in that. But I think that's, like you say, it's a neat feature, and again, being able to explore it and, you know, what you came up with, I think that's a cool feature there for that system, NHWCV.
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, you can feel free to create a call. Feel free to, you know, mess with it as much as you want. Drop it on you can drop it on me. That's not a huge deal. Drop it on the, I think I've got Anne Frank or Adam. Adam Baker, David, Charlie, you can drop it on those as well, and, you know, move them along through the call and stuff like that. So, whatever you want to do is just totally fine. But I'm hoping it'll work out. I'm hoping it'll help. It gives
you know, time stamps as you roll through the fall, and if everybody downloads it and actually uses it during a disaster or whatever, it'll track your location so there's no having to ask, you know, hey, where are you at, or, you know, whatnot. It'll automatically do that, so.
Okay, yeah, that also is a good feature, because, again, it's, you know, one of those things, you know, it's the same principle, you know, with public safety, you're wanting, you know, everybody to act safely and, you know, being accountable for everyone. So, I think that's, that also is, again, a plus to that system, knowing a location and, heaven forbid, if there's a problem or maybe somebody's kind of familiar with an area, at least you can kind of get an idea.
Yeah, it's nice, and the nice thing about the, if you download the app, you can have it to where it'll go through your phone, whether it's on Do Not Disturb or if it's on silent, it'll still go, critical alerts will still go through.
That's, again, there's another good feature to it. So it's again, for a system like that that's just available online like that, it's so expensive. Everybody can use it, and they're comfortable, and you know, learn. Again, it's a good accountability tool there. It's like, say, the timestamps are important there as well.
Yeah, for sure. I'm hoping the county will pick up the cost, and then we'll be able to upgrade, because there's a lot of other features that we upgraded that we can use, and it's really nice. It's a nice program. I'm actually on it right now. Just I wanted to see how the mapping system works, as far as like tracking me, and I could see my route on the thing. The nice thing about it too is like when you assign a call to a unit, that unit can, as long as you got like a major cross street or an address, that unit can select, give me directions, and it'll give you directions to that call or where you're dispatched to.
Man alive, I think some of these CAD systems, New World and Clemens, might want to take some notes or something. That's great. And again, that, you know, if they're able to pick that up, again, that opens up more options and the functionality of the system. And I think that's pretty cool. I'm glad you're able to discover that.
Yeah, I like it. I think they're doing a good job for a company that's a free company, and their security is pretty tight as well. They've got a lot of verification in the system, where, you know, it makes sure that you're verifying from an actual, you know, you're a human, you're not like, you know, somebody else, whatever. The security aspect of that system is pretty decent as well, and it's pretty neat. I like it. It's a good thing to have, and hopefully it'll be useful for if there's ever an incident, or even for deployment and stuff. So.
Yes, I agree with you on that one. You wonder if you could utilize it at work if your CAD system went down. How reliable, or at least use it to record keeping end inside for you. You probably still have to do, though, the paper log so that somebody could re-enter it in later on.
We probably could if I built it that way, because a lot of it is tailored to your needs. So you can go in and you can build your own, like, your own template for a call. So a lot of the templates, I'd have to go in and build those. But, it would probably work. I mean, probably work better than what we've got, to be honest with you.
I was kind of wondering that about whether your cat system, how it's working at your employment there. But yeah, that was like you say, that would work pretty good. I wonder, even back in the day, and compared to Shelby and their system there, the Chief Campbell folks and those candy laptop computers and such.
I think even those would be better than what we got now. Our system is garbage.
Oh boy! Well, they definitely got a rating here on that one. How it is? Well, just keep working on that system and keep perfecting it there. Like you say, it'll be a good run there if it's used at the Dream Cruise. I think that would be kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm hoping it'll work out. Based on the tracking aspect of it, it'll be good. And there's a way, even like, so if we did it and say Wayne County decided, hey, that's a great idea, I'm going to do that, there's a way to set it up to where they could be on their own and have their own system, but say then we work mutually, there's a way to connect the two systems together so they can generate a call and drop it on our system.
Okay, yeah, there you go. It's kind of like, I think the concept you were saying that, if I'm not mistaken, I don't know if you still have it, they had New World and they were dropping the calls into the system and, you guys were able to pick those up. Again, that's a good flexibility to utilize, again, in a mutual aid situation, but yet being able to, be responsible for, your specific group or municipality in that.
Yeah, it works a lot like that system. What's nice, too, is, like, for a responder, if I get on scene, I need command needs pictures, or there needs to be some type of, like, some pictures and whatnot. We could, as a responder, you can set those pictures up and send the pictures to dispatch and stuff. So it is pretty cool.
NAWCD, wow, that's something. I hadn't thought of that, and even that, I'm sure that's upgraded. And retired, I've been out of it now, I think about 13 years. Be able to send pictures across a CAD system like that. I know we had just gotten to a place, we were using a laptop connected to the internet to dispatch there before I left, and being able to get, people to see things. It's come a long way.
Yeah, it's a pretty agile system. It's pretty nice. I mean, like I said, and you can chat within the system. There's a chat board, so you can chat back and forth with the unit. There's protocols. Like, you can have it set up to where if you're going to, like, a like if you're going to a traffic call, it'll have it bring up like a flag and it'll tell you like a protocol, hey, in this situation, this is what you're supposed to do, and you know, it'll tell you that. Like if you got a frequent flyer, it'll bring you up information about that person. If you, you know, if you have that set up in within the CAD, it'll do that for you. So it's a pretty cool system for being a free system, and it'll email you, and you know that, and already know that, but it'll email you, it'll send you, it's supposed to be able to send you a text message, and then there's lots of other things that, you know, this can do. It'll if you've got the apps downloaded, if you've got it set to where a specific unit changes status, it'll let you know, so pretty cool.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like it. Indeed, I'm surprised. I'm surprised these people, if it works that good, don't go into business and start marketing it. And of course, you know, for cost. But again, like you're saying, I guess you know you could get a premium subscription there and unlock more of those features. So that's, like I say, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, and really we have the free part of it. The free part of it, you're allowed to have 10 consoles. And anything more than 10, you have to pay. So if you do like if you have 40 numbers, you have to pay like $50 a month or something like that. But then they also have a yearly subscription. So it's pretty neat. It's, like I said, there's a lot of good stuff that goes with it. Just, you know, it depends on how much you want to pay for it, or if you just want to stay with the basic part of it.
Ah, okay. That sounds great. That's pretty cool how that works out there. In thinking about the Dream Cruise, as a side note too, a lot of the addresses on Woodward basically follow, I believe it's called the Detroit Edison system, or it was part of the system that's used. So in other words, if you're, you know, like you're 31,000 Woodward, you're 13 mile, and you're 33,000, you're 14 mile. So it definitely goes along with, you know, our system out here. I use the same, like, you know, go across Roseville or whatever. That same numbering system works out in that way.
That is pretty cool. It's pretty accurate as far as mapping. There's little hiccups here and there, like you have to put certain things within when you're entering the call. You have to make sure you do like the zip code or something like that, or else it might be a little bit off. But outside of that, it's pretty accurate. It's pretty good on the addresses and stuff. You do a cross street or something like that. Like if you're gonna do Normandy and Woodward, you'd have to do like Normandy at the logo, and then Woodward. And then it'll bring it up the cross street. If you do just Normandy and Woodward, it'll bring up an address close to in that vicinity.
Yes. I don't know how your system, it works the same way, and that's the way Clemens was. You know, you had to bring it up a certain way, and you know, then it would geocode it, or it would, you know, put the right GPS in place there for the location, that type of thing. So yeah, it's again just learning kind of the idiosyncrasies, but again the same concept. You know, brings up the location pretty accurate there. That's good.
Yeah, for sure. So I'll just stop and then I'll just show you some of the things that, like I said, mess with it all you want. You're not going to mess it up. So, you know, do what you want with it. And, like I said, enter calls, you know, run them through, cancel them, you know, whatever you want to do. Because once it goes live, I'll go in and clear it out, and it'll just start over. It'll start fresh. So, you know, do what you want to do with it. But it is pretty cool. It's pretty neat. So, well, Dad, I am home, so I'm going to hop out and grab some food, relax, and kick off my day off. But good conversation. I appreciate you coming along north, and hopefully you guys have a good night. Enjoy the weather.
Yes, you too. Definitely enjoy this evening and your day off tomorrow, and sleep in there, and raise the windows up there again tonight. All good. Yes, made it through another weekend, and lots of good conversation. But thanks for the ride along north, and enjoyed it very much. So tell everyone hello, and wish you 70 degrees and 88 to be with the family. Like I say, enjoy your evening and your day off tomorrow, and we'll talk again soon. NAWCB is clear on your front.
Sounds good, Dad. Yeah, sounds good. You guys enjoy your evening. 73s and 88 to Mom. KAYN Euclid.
KFAEOR for a radio check, over.
CB8OE.
Copy that. Yeah, you're coming in really good too. Thank you.
Switch to the other repeater. Head north. Well, I'll tell you, that wildfire smoke's horrible up here.
Where are you at right now?
Bastyr right now, or in Millington right now.
Copy that, I'm in Columbiaville, and yeah, it's been a constant haze all day long. It's been horrible. Even down, all the way down Lapeer, it was bad.
I left Columbiaville a little bit ago. I had to stop and get some of my hoist parts.
Yeah, it was pretty hazy earlier today. I mean, I didn't even bother doing too much work outside today. I was just like, nah, forget it. I had to do inside work instead. And couldn't get motivated in all the smoke.
I'm hoping some of this clears up overnight. I'm going to have a hard time breathing tomorrow. I have ongoing lung stuff I deal with, and this isn't helping.
I feel your pain. My wife, she can't handle this stuff at all. She has to wear a mask every time she has to go outside now, which is kind of tragic because we moved away from the city to get away from this kind of crap.
It's real nice in the city, too. You get that and this.
So were you saying earlier that that's worse up there in Millington as opposed to Columbiaville? Over.
Same, but I don't know. It's a timeline thing. It was getting bad in Columbiaville, but you know, I'm sure the prevailing wind is moving quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm so over the smoke. It's been going on for days here, and I'm just like not digging it at all. I got a lot of outside projects I want to get done, but I'll do it early in the morning where it's not so bad and the air is more manageable, but come afternoon, I'm indoors.
It's quite the spectacle. You can see a couple miles. And then after that, it's all outlines and stuff. But you can certainly smell it.
Well, this has been going off and on for, what, the last 3 years now, hasn't it? Covered my memory serves.
Well, at least two, you know, I know a lot of that was, they were man-made and somebody running around lighting them. You know, they should hold them with some accountability above and beyond like a standard prison sentence, especially if anybody dies. They ought to hold them to the ultimate price if somebody gets killed. So, something I can't believe that they, all the ones they were catching on video actually setting fires out in California.
Yeah, if I could answer the question as to why they do that, I'd probably have to have my own head examined, too. I can't fathom why anybody would want to do that, but here we are.
Allow you to, like, get your hand collectively around all their throats or anything. At least there's not a lot of traffic tonight. Cruising up M15, usually there's a lot more people out there. They had a heck of a car show up here in Vassar. It's some really cool stuff.
Yeah, I saw this morning, I saw a convoy of roadsters and rat rods running up there. It looked pretty cool.
Girlfriend's foster dad stopped in with an old Fairlane with one of the early FE blocks in it. Man, that car was so clean. Had the hard top, retractable hard top that dropped down inside the trunk. It was kind of neat. I haven't seen one for a long, long time.
Back when cars were cool, you knew it was coming at you when it was coming down the road. Now I can't even make tell if it's a Mercedes or a Chevy SUV half the time.
And everything kind of amalgamated and all looks the same. And oh, they stealing each other's ideas over and over. KB8OOE.
Yeah, the golden age of car automobiles beyond us. And if you look at the prices of these things, I was looking at a couple of cars online and stuff. And I'm like, geez, old pigs, especially the trucks. I was just like, I remember when they were under $10,000 and you'd see them advertised in the paper brand new and stuff when I was a kid. That's how old I am. KF8EOR.
I can't believe. These last 2 days in a row, the sun's been bright orange, reddish looking at night. You know, there's something getting choked out there. 9 o'clock now, though, so sky's all lit orange, though. That's some nasty stuff. I lock myself inside.
I hear you. It reminds me when I was living out in California in the morning, you'd have all that smog come in. This was back in the 80s. And then it'd go back out in the afternoon. But every single morning, you'd just look at that and just, holy crap. Because that air couldn't really go anywhere because of the currents and everything was just moving in and out. But, yeah, now I'm out here in the rural Michigan and looking at the same thing, I'm like, geez, what next?
It'll eventually go away. They won't have any trees left to burn up there.
I don't know if you've ever been in a Canadian forest in the middle of nowhere. It is very, very, very large. They don't even have roads to go anywhere to fight these fires. I mean, it's either done by air or it's not happening at all because they don't even have logging trails. And that's the majority of the woodlands in Canada. It's you'd be surprised how much of it's untouched out there.
Oh, yeah, it's been a while, but, yeah, I've been up there. Parts of that UP. Yeah, there's parts of that UP that are still choked out pretty good.
They're still recovering from the winter damage of the ice storms on a lot of those roads. They're still trying to get those squared away, and here we are in August.
we were up through Atlanta up there, Lewiston through Atlanta, where all that. What a mess.
Yeah, we didn't even bother going this year. You know, it's just, we heard so much about it, I said, you know, we're just going to pass. And that's okay. I got plenty of projects around here to keep me busy all summer anyway.
All right, we're about two blocks away from the house, so I'm gonna shut her down here, I think.
Copy that. Hey, listen, it was good talking. Thanks for the response, and you try to enjoy the rest of your evening. And 73, this is KF8, EOR clear.
73, KB8OOE.